Glory to God. It's good to be with you today. Let's just pray, shall we, before we get into the Word of God. So, Father, we just thank you for this time we're able to spend together. We just ask you to bless your Word to us. Give us ears that will hear and hearts that will receive everything you have to say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to deal with a subject today. Really following on from recent events. Troublesome times, you know, how we live with them, how we cope. And God gives us some instructions in the Word of God for how to live in troubled times or troublesome times. Now, over the last few months, the world has changed quite dramatically. We've seen the onset of a global pandemic. One after another, countries have gone into lockdown, and the citizens of these countries have been confined to their houses, been confined to their homes. They've been told to follow strict guidelines that deal with health, that deal with hygiene, that deal with social procedures. And these have all been put in place to control the virus from spreading, and obviously to prevent people from catching the virus and spreading it. Now, here in the UK, we're just coming to the end of lockdown. Many of the restrictions are now lifted. But during these last few months, the way we live, the way we think has changed. We are more careful. We're observing social distance from other people. We're washing our hands more regularly than we used to. Wearing protective face coverings when we leave the home. And we're having to queue when we go shopping. You know, all these things that have affected us in our day-to-day and perhaps change the way we behave and the way we act. Over the last few months, again, we've learnt to live without certain things, like going out for a meal or getting a takeaway. You know, we've learnt to go without those things. We've dealt with the heartache sometimes of not being able to see close family members. We've dealt with not being able to hug our children and our grandchildren. We've realized that we're not to take for granted the small and the simple things that we have in life. But one thing has, certainly that has risen to the forefront during this pandemic and this lockdown, particularly here in the UK, and I'm sure it's the same in Malta, is that we've seen how the low paid, I probably can say this quite confidently, the undervalued workers are the ones that have kept the country ticking over. Now, these include people like health workers and social care workers, shop workers, delivery drivers, the postal services, the refuse collectors, all these ones that not on a significantly higher pay, but nevertheless, they've been the ones that have been working throughout and keeping everything running and in order. And they're just a few of them. There are others as well, which I'm sure I've not mentioned. And what we've seen is that over the weeks, they've been recognised, they've been applauded every week for the work that they've been doing. But lockdown, for some, has been quite hard. It's been quite troublesome. People living in constant fear of this unseen virus. Living in totally sterile conditions. You know, I was in work the other day, and you know, you could just the whole area just smelt of that antibacterial hand wash. It gets in the back of your throat sometimes, and you know, totally sterile conditions. People living in fear that they might catch this thing. And they're refusing to have any type of social interaction with anybody. And these have all been driven by government-issued statements and by the scientists and health professionals. And in the UK here, the government statement has changed depending on where we were in lockdown. Right at the very beginning, in phase one, they issued this statement that we were to stay at home, protect the NHS, and save lives. Stay at the NHS, that's the health service, and save lives. As we progressed through and we went, we saw that the we'd gone past the peak and it started to come down. The government changed their statement, and then they started issuing this statement, which said that we were to stay alert, control the virus, and save lives. And it's around that sort of inspiration for my message today. We're going to share something that I heard a few weeks ago. The Bible gives us some advice on living life, not just during or after lockdown, but this is for all time, and particularly in troublesome times. These are God's instructions for living through troublesome times. Now, it was issued to a king during a time of attack and when enemies were coming against him and against the kingdom. And it was given to this king by the prophet Isaiah. So if you have Bibles, you want to turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to read just one verse, and we're going to break this verse down and look at three statements that are found in this verse. So Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4. Now I'm going to read it to you from a translation I don't normally read from, and this is the New International Version. So it will be different in the King James or whatever if you're using another translation. But in the NIV, the New International Version, it says this. It says these words. It says, "Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and of Remaliah." So there we have three statements are made in that verse to the king by the prophet. And he said to him, be careful, keep calm and don't be afraid, and do not lose heart. Now, what good advice. Now, we're going to break those down. Let's look at each one of those very briefly today. The word be careful, be careful. You know, this is what we say to children, or be careful, because you know that if you see them going into a place of danger, or you want to warn them of an impending problem that's ahead, we just say be careful, be careful. Now this word literally means to protect and guard yourself, to be aware, alert and vigilant, to be watchful. And another definition of this be careful here is to give attention to give your attention to something. You know, be careful. Now, the Apostle Peter warns us to watch and be alert. He says, because we've got an enemy who's out to destroy us. He says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There, be sober, be vigilant, you know, be careful, be alert, be watchful. You know, your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. So there Peter says to be vigilant, to watch. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, he could say that he recognized the way the devil worked to influence and destroy us. Now, in one of his letters to the Corinthian church, in the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he's talking about a few things, and he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, we know the way he works. We know the devices he uses to influence us, to destroy us, to bring us down, to get the upper hand. Now, I haven't got time to develop that a lot further this morning, or today. But what we are going, what we see here is that Paul said, look, he says, we are aware, we know the way the devil works. No, why? Because we are watchful, we are vigilant, we're careful in our understanding of what he does. Now, as I said, one of the meanings of to something. In line of what we've just been saying, I'm not saying that we should make a study of the devil. Actually, quite the opposite. Our focus should be on the Lord, who, through the Holy Spirit in us, will direct us. He will give us discernment. He will lead us. He will guide us. Jesus said that himself in John 16, verse 2. This is from the New King James. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So, there, our focus on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to us. He will lead us and guide us into the truth. He will give us discernment when we need discernment. He will tell us not to do this or not to do that. He will another thing that directs our footsteps is the Word of God. It's like a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. The psalmist tells us that in Psalm 105, I believe it is, that he is, in Psalm 119, that his Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Solomon wrote these words, and I want to read these to you. Solomon, that wise king, the son of King David, he said that we should give our attention to the Word. Why? Because this will keep us and protect us in those troubled times, in every area of life. He says this in Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And then he finishes off verse 23. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Be careful to keep your heart. Feed it with the Word of God. Focus your heart and your mind on the Lord Jesus. That's a key one. Be careful. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul writes. The second statement that Isaiah gave that king, in Now, it reads differently in other translations, but in the New International Version, it reads this: keep be afraid. So we've had be careful, number one. Number two, keep calm and don't be afraid. This advice, do not fear, is one of the greatest pieces of advice we have in the Bible. In actuality, it's a direct command from Jesus himself. Many times he said, don't fear, do not fear, be not afraid. And it comes as a command from Jesus. We are not to fear any form of trouble. You know, and it's one of the devices the enemy uses to destroy us, which is why we're told to be careful, be alert, be vigilant. Fear is a destroyer. The Bible says this. John writes in his first letter, 1 John 4 and verse 18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Listen to this one. Fear involves torment. You know, fear destroys us. It torments us. It causes us to make irrational decisions and choices. When we make a decision based on the fear of something, it's irrational. It might appear rational to our human mind or our reasoning at the time, but it's not a rational decision for the Christian, for the born-again believer. Why? Because our decisions need to be based on God's word, based in faith. It says, keep calm and do not be afraid. Keep calm, be still, be at peace. When we're still before the Lord and at peace, do you know we can know his ways? You know, we just said we've got to be careful, we've got to be vigilant of the enemy's ways. But when we're still before God, we can know his ways. We can hear his voice. We can rest in him. Yeah, we can rest in the Lord. The psalmist David in Psalm 46, verse 10, he says this. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be at rest. Know that I'm God. I am your God. The God who's on your side. The God who's with you. There's be still and know that I am, is what it's saying. The great I am is with you. You know, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples of that storm. He wasn't in another boat. He wasn't elsewhere. He was right in their midst, right with them. Yet the storm still came. The disciples still got worried. They still got afraid. They still had working it every which way to get the water out of the boat. Until they decided to focus on Jesus, wake him up, get him up out of his rest that he was taking. And then he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves. You know the story. But notice, Jesus was asleep in that boat. He was resting in the midst of a storm. He was resting in the midst of a storm. You know, he was calm. He wasn't afraid of the waves. You know, in our stillness before God, when we rest in God, when we're at peace with God, we can have confidence in him. And his strength will be given to us to see us through. You know, there's a scripture. It's also in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 30 and it's verse 15. And it says this: for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In returning and rest, you will be saved. So in troubled times, learn to keep calm and do not be afraid. A very well-known scripture, we know that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He said this, and again, in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Then he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then he carries on, he says, and the peace, in verse 7, and the peace of God, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Let the peace of God guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Then finally, the third statement that we find in this verse is, do not lose heart. So be careful, keep calm and do not be afraid. And finally, number three, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't quit. That's what that phrase means. Don't quit. Don't give up. It might be tough. The times may be troublesome, but don't quit. Don't give up. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Remember that. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. You know, the Bible says this, and although probably technically it might be a little bit out of context the way I'm saying this, but I want you to, it's still the same. In Galatians 6 verse 9, Paul writing to this church, he says this, an often quoted scripture, one you'll probably know. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. If you lose heart, if you give up, you quit, you never win the prize. Any athlete will tell you that. If they drop out of the race, there's no crown for them. There's no medal for them. You've got to stay in the race to win the medal or to have a chance at winning the cup or becoming first. So don't grow weary while doing good. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. Now, the Israelites, you know, when they came up out of Egypt, they had many an occasion to quit and give up and go back to Egypt. And they would have done had it not been for Moses, who encouraged them to go on. Do you know, they never would have entered the promised land, the blessing of rest, if they'd done what they said they were going to do. Oh, it'd be better if we went back to Egypt. You know, we had things in Egypt. You know, we were better off in Egypt. Never give up. Never quit. Paul was a man to give up. You know, the things he suffered, the things he went through, the fact that he came to Malta, he came in troubled times. He came in a storm. It was a storm that brought him to Malta. And he wrote these words to the church. He says, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, even though the outward appearance might be bad, it might be troublesome, it might be tough, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day on a daily basis. You know, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. And he said this, made this statement while he was talking about the troubled times that he'd been in. Because if you go back to verses 8 and 9, you know, we have that statement there. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, he was talking about those times through. Maybe even recalling that final journey on his way to Rome, when his penultimate stop was Malta. You know, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. It might be tough, but we're not defeated. Our church leader here in the UK, he said this, and he said it all the way through. He says, we may be locked in, but we're not locked down. We may be locked in, but we're not locked down. And that's so true. You know, the church is not locked down during this pandemic, or now we're coming to the end of it. And we here in the UK, we still can't meet as a group. We're still streaming our services. But we might be living in troubled times, but we're certainly not troubled. We're not troubled. Then he goes on to say, verses 17 and 18, listen to this, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, that takes us right back to be careful, not looking at the wrong thing, not keeping our eyes on the right thing, keeping our eyes on the Lord, keeping our eyes on the Word of God. We're not looking at the problem, we're not looking at the trouble, we're not looking at the difficulty. How could Paul say all those things? Because he'd learned the secret of living in troubled times. So there's just a few thoughts this day. Living, instructions for living in troublesome times. Be careful. Stay calm and do not fear. Don't lose heart. Now I'm going to show you, just to finish today, I'm going to show you an illustration. And this illustration is one I made. It's based on the UK government's things that they published, their pictograms and things that they put on the screens. And I've altered it to reflect my message to you today. And so if you're watching from the UK, you'll recognise the colour scheme, you'll recognise the design. But just look at the words. Be careful, stay calm, and do not fear. Don't lose heart. God bless you. Amen.